It's time for What's Up with Opposition Deputy Leader Paula Bennett.
Morena, Paula, how are you?
Good morning, I'm very good, thank you.
Nice to have you back on the line. It's been a wee while.
It has, sorry about that. No. It's been a bit everywhere. I'm in Te Awamutu today.
Oh, fantastic. Shout out to Te Awamutu.
I know. I've done a bit of a road trip from Whanganui right through to Auckland in 3 days.
Wow.
In 18 meetings.
Fantastic. Politics never sleeps, does it?
It's like getting into a heartland.
Exactly. Hey, we've got lots to talk about this morning. We're going to chat a bit about the clean vehicle incentive, also about the complaint that Nationals put against the KiwiBuild scheme to the Auditor General, and a wee bit about what you've been saying about tobacco recently in the news too. So we'll start with talking about the clean vehicle incentive, because that's been a hot topic at the moment. So the government's announced a plan to impose an import fee on vehicles with high CO2 emissions, and use that money from that to subsidise low emitters. So the National Party's been quite critical of this proposal. You yourself have said that you think it will penalise those who don't have alternatives. Who are those groups that you're worried about, and in what ways do you imagine this is going to penalise them?
Well, wow, it's the people I've been talking to in the last 2 days, you know, going through the countryside. And, you know, it's those farmers, it's the tradies, it's the people that are, you know, kind of trying to work hard and really keep their heads above water anyway. They don't have alternatives as far as they need vehicles that they can tow. I mean, goodness, I was in a town yesterday and they were just laughing at the fact about electric vehicles. And that they would have power surges and couldn't even think about trying to charge something, and they wouldn't be able to get to the next town to actually do something. So there's practicalities behind it where people that don't have choices could end up having to pay $3,000 more for a vehicle. And there's a whole lot of questions as to, you know, sort of how far. So I'm not against them putting incentives in for those who want EVs. I'm just not sure you should penalise those that, like the farmers and the tradies I meet.
But isn't this going to also incentivise bringing more cleaner vehicles into the market in New Zealand anyway? I know there's going to be sort of an initial period where it will be expensive, but ultimately down the line this is going to make the whole thing cheaper and more sustainable.
That would happen without actually having these the kind of costs and an extra tax that are put on those that really can't handle it and don't need it. So, you know, I think we have got cleaner cars coming all the time. There's an argument that a lot of the diesels are better than some of the electric vehicles anyway. We've got wonderful technology happening. So I just don't think we need to penalise. I suppose that's my point.
Well, what would your alternative to that be? How would you sort of see we can make this a cleaner sort of car fleet in New Zealand if not having these penalty taxes?
Yeah, well, as I say, I'm not against an incentive. You know, I think there's actually the government's vehicle fleet. They have over 15,000 vehicles in their own fleet, purchasing and getting much cleaner vehicles for that. They then turn into second-hand that then go around the country that are better for everybody. That's an absolutely viable option. You can put things in as far as more of charging throughout the country. So I'm not anti-electric vehicles. As I say, it's just I don't think you need to be making other people pay more when they can't afford it.
Well, you have also noted that we are a car-loving country, which I think is probably not an unfair point to make, because the geography of our country does mean that there is a fairly inevitable amount of car travel that happens here. Is there any sort of other transport infrastructure you'd like to see happen so that maybe we don't have to rely so heavily on cars as our main form of transport?
Yeah, that's quite funny. I mean, we kind of want the infrastructure of Singapore when Singapore's, you know, a country that is about the size of Lake Taupo, you know, so we sort of want everything, yet, as you say, geographically, we're two islands, three islands really, but, you know, we're a long, skinny, with a very, with a relatively small population for the land base that we've got. And so in that, so you are looking at vehicles, but of course we pro-cycleways and all the rest of it. I mean, we're the ones that brought the cycleways into the country. And
but what about on a sort of a bigger scale, I guess? I'm thinking about these rural communities as well. Is there ways we could be sort of investing in trains, for example, things like that mean they're not so isolated in terms of having to use cars?
Yeah, trains are pretty expensive and we already invest in them, I've got to say, and it's hundreds of millions of dollars a year that they are subsidised by the taxpayer. taxpayer. And so you'd be wanting to look at them, you know, really carefully to see if that sort of investment and where that goes and how you can sort of get it then better used and everything else. But let's be honest, as I travelled through, from Inglewood and around the back of New Plymouth and right through to Te Awamutu yesterday, those people are going to be driving on our roads and they deserve to be safe to have the kind of infrastructure that they need. And we're going to need roads and at a really high standard for a long period of time.
All right. Well, maybe we'll move on to talking about this complaint that Nationals brought against the Kiwi Build scheme to the Auditor General. So the Auditor General's investigators are going to look into the National Party's complaint that taxpayer funding is being used to underwrite Kiwi Build homes. Can you explain what that means?
Yeah, so these are developers that were building homes anyway. So they already had, in most cases, been consented. In some places, they even had them on the market or had been sold. And then Kiwi Build have come along and said, oh my goodness, we need to get our numbers up because, we've been criticised that we don't have enough homes. Why don't we just buy them or say that we will underwrite them? But they're doing that with taxpayers' money. And you have to turn around and say that either they were on the market already and were going to be sold. Why should the government, why should the taxpayer be underwriting a development that was happening anyway? And that's where the Auditor General has said, yes, there's valid questions and they will be looking into it.
So do we have a time frame on when we'll hear back from the Auditor General on that?
Not that I've seen, but they're usually pretty good at moving their way through it when they do, the Auditor General. I would be expecting it to be a couple of months, but I am guessing.
What do you think would be a sort of alternative that your party perhaps would bring in? Because we do obviously have a huge housing crisis in New Zealand. What would be something that you would bring in instead of something like the Kiwi Build scheme?
I'd definitely work on the RMA, so that Resource Management Act. I've been talking to people up and down the country and what they keep telling me is it's not actually the cost of putting the nail in the, in the wood and building the house. It's the consenting, it's the land, it's the, some of our towns, it's the rural urban boundaries that are just too strict. It is looking at what those barriers to actually the private sector building these homes and a range of them. Then it's the state house building program, which we had got well and truly underway, had put huge investments into, and we're now seeing the rewards for that as a country, which is fantastic. So more of them going on, but ultimately it's that Resource Management Act and the consenting process that needs to be streamlined.
All right, well, just before we run out of time, I'd like to chat a little bit about what you've been saying about tobacco in a couple of interviews recently. In an interview, I believe it was with the AM show, you said that we're just about done with upping the tobacco tax and that we need to look at it carefully. I'm quite interested in this because the EY report that came out last year said that we're 9 years now into the policy of increasing tobacco tax annually and that smoking rates have decreased across all demographic groups. Mm-hmm. And that's including age groups, ethnicities, genders and all deprivation quartiles. So clearly it is an effective policy. So why do you think we should be stopping it?
Look, I'm going to, to be fair to me, it was a question I wasn't expecting on the AM show and I answered it honestly, So it's not some great policy. It's not something I put, that I'm an expert in. I worry about the cost on our poorer people, and it gets to a point where, you can see people choosing cigarettes over food for their kids, with being a bit dramatic, I know, but, and I just sort of think that it's an addiction and we want to help them in any way we possibly can, but does there get a point where we need to ask questions as to are we doing harm to people because of the cost of cigarettes? And is there other ways that we can do to actually help them as well? So I want to help.
What would some of those other ways be? What would some of those other ways be, Paula?
I fully accept that cost works. I'm not arguing that. I'm just, I am just saying that there are people that are still really caught in an addiction, that they can't actually afford it, and it's affecting them and their families. So, look, I'm not the expert. I'm sure there's much, I could spend a lot more time on it, and we could do many more education programs and get in earlier. We can see girls are smoking still, but the numbers have come down. That's so encouraging. I wonder if vaping, we shouldn't be doing more around that, because I hear that it's really, there's a whole lot of other alternatives that are better for people. So, I think technology is going to play a part in that sort of thing. But, I'm not saying no taxes. I'm just saying, there are people that are suffering because of the cost.
All right. Well, thank you for speaking with us this morning, Paula. We'll talk to you again in about a fortnight's time. Have a lovely morning.
Hey, Hey, thanks so much, Rachel. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
That was What's Up with Opposition Deputy Leader Paula Bennett.